This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Marty Sliva,
Hello.
And Sam Claiborne.
What's up, everybody?
We've got a great show for this week, a huge show for this week. So much news we got to get through. We're going to talk about, of course, all the big games out this week. We're going to talk about the PlayStation Vita.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. It's in the news.
What year is it?
It's back in the news, although probably not actually back. But first, Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah.
Might be coming soon to a classroom near you.
What? Damon, do explain.
Allow me to explain. Assassin's Creed Origins is the next game in the Assassin's Creed series, the long-running Assassin's Creed series that is 10 years old.
How many games?
15? 11 years old now?
No one knows.
10 years old, maybe.
A couple DS ones, couple PSP ones.
It's out October 27th. It is set in ancient Egypt, and it has a new mode for the series called Discovery Tour.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a super hard, like an ultra hard permadeath?
Yeah, permadeath.
Yeah,
it turns it into a roguelike. Yeah.
Yeah, a permadeath brutal mode is what they call it. No, Discovery Tour. Now, I'll explain. It adds an entirely new game mode that turns the massive recreation of Egypt into a combat free living museum with guided tours that
let players about Jurassic Park.
Delve into the history firsthand. They were so consumed with trying to decide whether or not they could that they never
Yeah, what if those pharaohs break out of their cages? Or the mummies.
There's no mummies yet because they don't become mummies for 1,000 years.
Well, that was a long empire, though.
Yeah.
True. This is
maybe
the end
they
of
have
the
mummies from
empire.
The very beginning. And
young mummies. That's the news. That's the sequel to the Young Pope.
Maybe the Discovery Tour will finally answer the question of whether or not mummies are zombies. The age-old question.
To be honest, probably not going to do that.
Jean Gusdon, creative director on Assassin's Creed.
Well, I met him last week.
Origins. Did you really?
Yeah.
He said, did he tell you about Discovery Tour?
He did. I don't know.
You've been holding out on us.
He said, what do you mean? We just started the episode.
Tell us all about it, Marty.
He's the best part of
you
the
didn't tell us. He heard IGN about it.
Oh, yeah. That's because there was an embargo, and I didn't want to bust. I didn't want to bust it. Well, read Sean's words.
He said, this is something we wanted to do for a long time, that we've been asked to do by teachers, by institutions. It's a more educative mode, so it's clearly focused on education. And I'm bringing to people actual facts, more academic knowledge. How does this strike you guys? Did you get to see this mode?
I did get to see it. This is cool. So this is coming as a free update to the game, and it's not coming at launch. It's early 2018.
Yes.
But this is something, like, as someone who's been a big fan of the series since AC1, I've always been like, man, what if they just if they stripped away all the combat and all the missions and let you run around Jerusalem or Rome or London? Like, I feel like my mom could run around this game and enjoy it. And so the fact that they're finally doing this thing, and sort of the museum aspect of it reminds me of if you play the commentary modes in like Half-Life or Portal.
Yeah, exactly.
You sort of go to these nodes and then click on them and then you get narration. So it's almost like being in an actual museum with a walking tour.
Can you climb everything?
I think you can still probably climb everything.
Sir, get down from there.
But they showed like you could choose who your avatar is, so you can be Bayek, who's the main character, or you can be like you could be Cleopatra if you want.
Benis Bayek.
Yeah, Benis Bayek. but then you like he was learning about mummification. So there's like someone teaching you about the mummification process.
Pull the brains out through the nose.
Nose.
Spoilers.
That is, yeah, learning about mummification, learning about Cleopatra, learning about Ptolemy. Ptolemy? It needs a really soft P.
But you can't Ptolemy. Possibly learn about geography because it's just everything's just in one little city. Right?
Yeah, but it's like Egypt, it is big, but like if you can go to the Sphinx and you can go to the pyramids at Giza and along the Nile.
They have to do so much research to get this stuff, you know, relatively. Yeah, I mean, they're taking tremendous liberties with it, as Sam's saying, but to get it relatively accurate, like the more and more realistic games become, like you need to hire an architect to tell you how a building's actually mm-hmm. made. You can't just like wing it like you could in you know, previous generations. And you need to have like, an expert on like biology and things of that nature to get the human body and the musculature moving right. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing all that research in ancient Egypt, anyway, like if you're going to go into a room in that game and explore a space where someone is mummified, like someone has to figure out how were people mummified. So you might as well pass that knowledge through in a little bit more academic way to people.
Produced making of series for IGN for Assassin's Creed Unity and for Syndicate. And like Unity, I met a woman whose job for a year and a half was making Notre Dame Cathedral. That was her job for 18 months. Cool. She was working on that cathedral. And
was she an artist?
She was an artist, but also a level designer.
And then that game comes out and people's eyes are bugging out of their head and everyone goes, bleh.
She took 18 months of her life. And then she said, like, she had never been there.
Yeah.
And then after right before the game was shipping, she went there. She just cried when she got there.
Aww.
She's like, this has been a year and a half of my life.
You did a terrible job.
If you think about it, that model is just out there somewhere, too, which they could be using.
EA is really good about that.
I think Egypt, like, all joking aside, is, like, a really cool subject for this. Mm-hmm. Because we see Egypt as this crumbling... You know, what's left there, sandstone monuments, but they were like the pyramids were capped in white stone originally.
Yeah.
And like they must have looked remarkable.
Yeah.
Right. And then like, what is that kind of dusty, dry desert that is around them now? What did that look like when it was a lush, you know, agricultural society? Mm-hmm. Like that's really appealing to me. And I love how games are doing that. And Egypt is like the one. Like, Athens,
I think so,
and Cairo, like, those would all be like really, really cool.
Ooh, Greece would be good.
Yeah. Greece would be my second choice.
Yeah, it says Discovery Tour lets players roam the entire game world without constraints or threats, exploring a sprawling landscape that includes Memphis, Alexandria, the Sand Sea, and the Giza Plateau at their own pace. So I guess that's probably a good reasoning for why they're holding this back to early 2018, because if this was just open, you know, right from the beginning of the game, it could potentially, like, you know, spoil a lot of the game that you're supposed to encounter on your own.
Yeah, well,
and I wonder, that means they're so confident in the fidelity of, like, their game world. Like, Assassin's Creed Unity, I thought it was fine, you know. I didn't encounter any of the critical bugs other people did. And when you're running through that game world on a mission, chasing someone down, like, it's fine. It's very believable, and the crowd depth is incredible. But if you stop, you'll see that a woman's, like, sweeping nothing, you know. And you just see all kinds of weird... Like, you see all the sort of chinks in the armor and, like, cracks where the facade sort of falls apart a little bit. So for them to let people sort of stop and sit and stare means that they're very confident in, you know, the fidelity of the world they've made.
Yeah.
It was, like, a no-brainer for a PSVR or or something.
I mean, I would love this sort of in just... I don't know, a thing like this in a lot of games of like have a Call of Duty thing where you can run through a level in Call of Duty World War II and remove the enemies, remove everything, but have it be like this is what Normandy was like or this is what the Battle of the Bulge was
That's
like.
That's a really good point.
Or even fictitional games, not necessarily historical games, but like Middle Earth Shadow of War, something you can walk around to explore the Tolkien universe, the Middle Earth universe.
I can get behind
fictional.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Middle Earth. This reminds me, I know, and not everything has to be about pinball, but in the pinball arcade, it takes old pinball games and remakes them into 3D. And one of the great things that it does when you can do that is it makes the best out there possible tutorials about pinball because it takes the game camera and it goes through like a 200-step tutorial about all the rules and it like flies around and kind of shows you all the stuff. And like sans somebody taking the glass off a game and pointing out each thing, you're never going to get that in your life. You can read a fact about it.
Yeah.
You can watch a guy play in video. But, like, this is a good way to do it. Like, yeah. Flashes each light. It shows the shot. Like, it's really
cool. So
games can stop and do something different with those 3D environments.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really neat.
You VR, I wouldn't be surprised at all if this is also, you know,
makes sense,
if there's VR integrated in this experience.
Yeah, that could be cool. The Discovery Tour is coming to Assassin's Creed Origins early 2018. I'm on board. I remain excited about this Assassin's Creed. Everything, all signs point to looking good. Let's go over what's out this week. We are, I don't know if it's fair to say we're in the midst of the fall.
I think we're there.
I was going to say the boulders, like, started rolling down the hill. Yeah. It's not the full speed yet.
With Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe like, you know, that October 27th day with Assassin's Creed Origins.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Mario, that's a
Odyssey,
crazy day.
Wolfenstein 2.
That's Jigsaw.
Classic and stuff this week.
Maybe that's when the boulder hits the poor town.
Are we the town?
Yes. We are the town. Big games out this week. Of course, FIFA 18.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kicky. They call it Kicky over there.
When I, you know, I like
Kicky 18 to our friends in the UK.
That's what Gab calls it.
You know, I'm one of my passions for following the video game industry. I love tracking MPD sales every month, and I love, you know, like sales data. So recently I shared MPD sales results for August, and I just today posted digital sales data just for August. And people are always confused because FIFA 17 is on there for August. You know, a
it's
month
the Ultimate Team stuff, right?
A month before
it was selling that well.
Yeah, a month before FIFA 18 comes out. Yeah, and it's not an error. It's true. Like, that's just how popular this game is, and I think it starts about this time of year. It starts like becoming popular
again. Yeah, we see the numbers on IGN, especially like on YouTube, like those videos. Anything we put up on FIFA, that's gangbusters.
I think in the case of FIFA specifically, it's the Ultimate Team minigame is driving a lot of, you know, revenue 12 months a year.
Kicky fever.
Kicky fever.
Yeah.
Also out this week on PlayStation 4, Firefighters, Airport Fire Department.
Oh, no, what?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Firefighters, Airport Fire Department.
That's
the
name.
They put out airport fires?
So
is there a department just for
it's
airport
firefighters?
I'm sure there are firefighters at the airport, yeah.
But exclusively? You better,
yes. If there's a fire at the airport, they don't want someone coming in all the way from a fire station like miles away.
Yeah. Why?
Because airports are huge. Think about it. An airport is also much bigger than any like neighborhood. So if your neighborhood is a fire, like it's ostensibly a town.
They call it, I'm skeptical.
Why are
they call
skeptical?
They call them duty-free towns.
Yeah, exactly. Just play the game. Just okay, this is an educational experience.
This is the second game that's coming to a classroom near you. Firefighters, Airport Fire Department. Sam, it's Firefighters : Airport Fire Department. So ostensibly, there are other games in the Firefighter series.
Yeah. Like Firefighters Kicky.
Right, well,
Kicky Department. There's probably stadium. There are firefighters, I bet, at every stadium. Yes, I guarantee AT&T Park has its own firefighters.
Any situation where there's that concentration of people.
You don't.
But what are you talking about? There's a million people in San Francisco.
I bet E3 has its own firefighters.
And San Francisco also has its own fire station.
Yeah,
yeah, but not like. But they're spread out, right?
They're spread out, but you know how big is the airport?
No, but
that
listen,
is bigger than any neighborhood.
If there's a fire at the airport, why do the firefighters need to be there faster than if there's a fire at the mall?
No, they just need to be there.
Are you
there
saying like what's so special about
it? But I'm
airport?
Just saying
I think it's like the jet fuel situation.
See now
no,
now that
no,
makes a little
get
more
your
sense.
Finger out of there. Put it away. put it away.
I don't know who to side with here, but
nobody.
I know there's a lot of flammable stuff at airports.
Look, there's a video game called Firefighters Airport Fire Department, so obviously there is such a thing as an airport fire department.
Yeah, but there's a game called Mega Man Soccer.
You can't make this stuff
Mega
up.
Mega Man Kicky.
Out of our 600,000 or however many podcast subscribers, there's like 8 airport firefighters right now that are so mad.
We matter. All right, so look for that on PlayStation 4. Also this week is Hob.
From the developers of Torchlight.
Torchlight 1 and Torchlight 2, which are very cool, Diablo-esque, Diablo-likes, if you will.
A little bummed we didn't get Torchlight 3 instead, but Hob does look really cool.
Yeah, I do really like Torchlight.
Yeah, Hob's a little bit more like Zelda-like. I'd say. Yeah, it's a puzzle, action puzzle platformer.
Yeah.
Can you climb shit?
Yeah, you can climb all sorts. You can climb whatever you want. It has its own fire. They have their own fire department.
Yeah.
No, you have a climbing. You have like a climbing arm.
Yes, but I don't think you can climb everything.
I'm talking about old Zelda, not new Zelda.
Old World Zelda.
All right.
I don't know about platforms. I think it's out on. Is it out? I know it's coming to consoles and PC. I don't know if it's all hitting all at once.
I think it's PS4, Xbox, and PC, not Switch.
Rip. Also out this week is Shinran Kagura, Peach Beach Splash.
Peach Beach Splash.
We got the special edition version of that game in the office, and we were talking about how this might be a thing that if we sit on it might be worth hundreds of dollars soon, because that probably is like limited to like 1,000 copies.
Game, but it's like a big rare or special edition version. Yeah. It's just a regular. I think that would be a rare game at some point.
Yeah.
So this is the game that's like, it's like Splatoon.
You think a lot of people buy them?
With the girls.
So like these games... They've made a lot of these games, but they don't sell very many copies.
That's why they'll be rare.
That's why I think they just announced recently. It's something like this. I'm paraphrasing data here, but they're like the Shinran Kagura series has reached 500,000 copies sold. It's something like that.
You're like you've made 30 of them.
There's been so many games in the series. So not the audience for this is not that
big. Is this? And I apologize if I'm wrong. Is this one of the Naked Lady games? One of those weird Naked Lady
games?
It's
not naked.
It's a water gun game.
Not
it's,
naked.
It's scantily wet t-shirt.
Don't
wet.
Stop
no, this
it.
Was a super soaker. This was a Super Soaker. It reminds me of Splatoon because it's a wet t-shirt shooter.
Yep. It's the Ninja Girls that can't keep their clothes on, taking a break from the ninjing to go have some fun at the beach with their water guns.
Yeah.
It's that game.
I wish we could remember. There was some... The slogan for that game is
bad.
So there's like 15,000 people just in America that will just buy it every time. And they just keep making them happy.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, it's an investment, I think.
Maybe. well, what comes like in the Bitcoin. Special edition? Is there like a towel,
Doesn't
beach
matter.
Towel?
It's just rare.
Also out this week is Vrog.
Yeah, wait, virtual frog. It's a VR game where you're a frog.
Did you just sneeze?
I love
what are you?
The idea.
Here's the actual description. Be a frog.
Whoa.
Your PSVR is your window to the Vrog world, allowing you to see through the eyes of a frog.
Sold.
Leap your way across the beautiful pond and see what's on the menu.
Cool.
It's bugs. Flies. Yeah. Wow. We didn't say spoilers. We always do that.
It's other frogs.
Oh, frog. No. Twist.
SteamWorld Dig 2 comes to other platforms. It was out on Switch last week. Now it's out everywhere.
Game rules.
Oh, backlog now.
Yeah. That game, you know what it's coming to? Vita.
Mm. Yeah, there's another Vita game. Yeah. I told you we'd be talking about Vita.
Yeah.
It's back in the news.
Is that what we were going to say? That's it?
No, there's more.
There is other Vita news. I'm so excited to play SteamWorld Dig 2, but I want to finish Mario plus Rabbids.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to what I'll be playing. Totally War, Warhammer 2 is out this week.
Totally War. Like totally.
We gave it a 9.1.
The reviewer called it the best Total War game ever made.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's better than Total War Rome.
Yeah, or Partial War.
Yeah.
A4.
Napoleon.
Jokes aside, this game does look really cool. It's like huge armies.
Good
where you
look.
Can, you know,
it's a really nice map.
Strategy game with huge armies, and you can zoom. You can go way up high, zoom right down to the ground level of the battles.
The whole thing with Total War is it's always been like it's half Civilization. So there's a world map where it's like turn-based things where you're moving things around. But then when the armies smash together, it descends down into like real-time combat. Then it's like an RTS. So it's like your army versus theirs, and you're moving units around, and then it goes back up into the turn-based mode.
There are lizard men.
Because this is Warhammer.
Yeah.
This is not history.
Oh, I was totally thinking of Rome, and I'm like, what? They need to consult the Assassin's Creed team.
And I hardly can believe I'm saying this, but Cuphead is out this week.
Yeah,
we have it here in the office.
We have it in the office. We streamed it earlier.
It's
real.
It's a real game.
Pronounced Cuphead?
No.
Cuphead.
Yeah, PH. Cuphead.
Cuphead.
It's actually a PH.
Yeah.
Wow, I already said FIFA 18. It's on my list twice. It's how did it sneak in there twice?
Classic kicky.
Cine Mora X is on Switch, and Cine Mora was a...
Is this a sequel? Or
a 2D shooter.
Yeah.
Gradius
from
style.
Shoot 'em up. Produced by Suda51.
Yeah, by Grasshopper.
By Grasshopper, yes.
Came to consoles several years ago. It's very cool. It's very good. This is the EX version. It's coming to Switch.
You reviewed it, right?
Yeah.
One of the last games Damon reviewed. Well, you're reviewing a few more now.
What are you talking about? Didn't you just review a game?
But I mean, for several years...
It was back from when I was reviewing
is it top
very
down
regularly.
Or side scrolling?
No,
side scrolling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a good game then?
It's very pretty.
Yeah.
I should probably try that.
And it has a time manipulation mechanic.
Cool.
Seems like it's a good fit for Switch.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yep. Beautiful
Favorite Joe.
Mechanic.
Yeah.
And the SNES Classic is out this week, which means.
I have one in my pocket.
Whoa, boys.
What?
With it comes Star Fox 2.
What?
You were just sitting on this the whole time.
It actually fit.
That's
in my
like
jean
George
pocket.
Costanza's wallet.
You
it's
just
pocket
keep it,
gaming, guys.
You didn't even know we were going to talk about it on the show. You just in case.
I have one in my
sure
pocket.
He had a good idea we were going to talk about it on the show.
Wow.
Our review of the console is up by Jonathan Dornbush. 8.5, I believe we get it. A great 0.5.
He said, incredible lineup, some of the greatest games of all time, but still some of the same limitations of the original, which is to go to the home screen, you have to physically hit the button on the console, and then the cord length, while a little bit longer, 5 feet is still not incredibly long.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy that after all the complaints about the crazy short cord length, they just made it marginally
Or you just make a wireless. Or you just make a wireless.
It's like, what is this thing, 80 bucks, 70 bucks?
80 bucks.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like, give people like a 9-foot cord. Just give them the cord. Just like eliminate any need for anyone to ever have to complain about that.
The reset button is really silly too.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, I think it's the best collection of games ever officially released.
Just make it a combination of buttons that you press to reset to the.
That's actually a pretty good way to think about it. Is this the greatest game compilation ever made?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else could it possibly be?
Yeah. I mean, there's really cool game collections for like kind of. Pre 16-bit systems. There's like I really like the Namco collections. Those are good.
Those are
Midway cool. had a really good series of arcade collections, but those are arcade games. And like this has Final Fantasy VI, which is better than all of those arcade games. Yeah. You know,
there was a really good Sega Genesis collection on last gen consoles.
Yeah, that was really good. The Ultimate Sonic's Ultimate Genesis collection.
I think that one was.
That worked out really well.
That was really really good. Had many many more games also, and the Orange Box. Fewer games.
Orange Box
is good.
That's a good
point. That's a really good
very,
point.
Very, very
Mega
good
Man
game
Collection was really good.
Mega Man Legacy. Actually, there's been, before our current Mega Man Legacy 1 and 2, there was also a Mega Man Collection on.
Anniversary Collection.
Yeah, Anniversary Collection.
On GameCube, it switched.
That was the worst. That I wanted to break my disc in half.
It was just silly that they did that.
So bad.
There's also, of course, Super Mario All-Stars, which is good.
Yeah, and the one that had Mario World in it.
That one is the definitive version.
Yeah.
You got Super Mario 3 on your shirt right now.
Yeah.
I think.
The Bay Area version.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Oh, I'd never picked up on that before.
Have you seen the Mario Kart Rainbow Road map that's made out of our BART? BART is our subway.
Oh, yeah, that's really cute.
That system. Because we have different colored lines that are rainbow for our subway, so there's this cool picture of Mario
I think this we can still get away with it because the SNES Mini is not a cart. I think the Super Mario All-Stars with Super Mario World is the greatest game cartridge ever made.
Mm. Talked about that here before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about Earthbound?
Easy, yeah.
Number two, Earthbound.
Just Earthbound.
Earthbound's a little divisive in the comments for this. I think there's a Earthbound
haters.
Squad. Yeah.
I'm going to ban them. I'm going to ban all of them. Just banned.
But with Earthbound, Final Fantasy, and Mario RPG, those are all like just massive games.
And Link to the Past,
they cost
Metroid.
Like $80 when they came out.
Yeah.
I didn't think I wanted one of these, and I've changed my mind.
We'll see how readily they are available now. It's actually out on Friday.
Maybe Sam has a second one in his other pocket.
No way. Give me a minute.
You get an SNES Classic, and you get them.
I hope we can all just buy them on Friday. Nintendo seems to think they were getting to that point.
It would be nice.
Really great. I'd love that.
You know, our review for this is up now on IGN, YouTube. I'm shocked, at how many people in the comments are asking if the cartridge slot works.
Not been paying attention. But it did work on the Genesis you reviewed.
Yeah.
Totally different thing.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah, but then it's like you must not have been paying attention to what the NES Classic was either.
This is smaller than a cart.
I don't think there's a portion of this where you could slide a cart into.
No.
Maybe in the side.
Nowhere for it to fit. But with this
diagonally.
With this comes the release 27 years later of 26 years
27.
later of Star Fox
it's 1995
2
oh, that's not
yep. which you reviewed
it's not 27 years at all. 22 years
oh yeah 22 years yeah
you're right sorry
yeah
I've admitted I'm terrible at math.
I thought you were just going to be like, I've been drinking.
I've admitted before that I am often half in the bag when we record this show.
Yeah, it's true. No. Sam reviewed Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah. I've been fielding a lot of questions about that review. So if you guys have any of them, feel free to ask them right now. Here's one. Why do you guys review this in the context of 2016? 2017, sorry. We're totally off numbers-wise today. I don't really know what that means. So for me, that game never came out, and so we get to review it now. I think that's really fun. Also, it was canceled, which means that there was something wrong with that game. And I looked up a great interview with Dylan Cuthbert, who worked on the game with Kotaku, where he said Miyamoto came in the room one day and said, this game, you know, in its complete state, it. When we see it against our competitors' 3D, which is like PlayStation 1 and Saturn even at that time, it just doesn't hold up, and we shouldn't release this. And it just has some quality problems, right? It's like really framey, and it's really hard to play. That's what they said then. right? So even if I reviewed that game then, it seems like it was kind of a mess when it was and it was canceled. So after it was canceled, we waited a long time, and now it's out, and like it's preserved for all of history to play, which is super amazing. But it doesn't make it any more playable. And in fact, like, just even if it ran well, and it would still be hard to play with the Super Nintendo controller because we're talking about 3D worlds, like not on rails. That's a big difference people don't realize. Star Fox 1 is on rails entirely. This game has places where you sit down on a walker and walk around a 3D environment, and it doesn't turn as fast as you. Like, it's so slow, and it's so hard to play those parts. And then when you're in space, those are open too. And if you think about that, you need to have like a mini map that shows things are above and behind you. And you guys have probably played Rogue Squadron. Like, that takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. On a Super Nintendo controller, you cannot do that. You have a D-pad and nothing else. So, like, it uses, on the ground, it uses the L and R buttons to turn left and right, which is really clever. I think that's really cool. But in space, like, you're just smashing the D-pad in a direction and hoping something's above or below you in the right. It's crazy. Like, it's not meant to. It just can't work.
It's hard to reconcile sort of the three, like, it's really, really cool that this historical curio is now available to the world to play, and it's really, really impressive that they had it running on a Super Nintendo at all. Like, it's a feat of engineering and just expertise. But reconciling that with, well, none of that makes it, like, fun. Like, none of that makes it, like, this is a fun, high-quality video game. So, I take away that from your review. Yeah. But
you guys all kind of watched it over the shoulder, too.
I loved watching it.
Yeah. Like, there's nobody in the office that walked by and were like, this is better than I thought it would look.
Well,
looks awful.
Like, we all had two thoughts. We're like, man, it's so cool and so crazy we're playing Star Fox 2, and look at how cool it is that this is running on Super Nintendo. And then, like, the second thing is, like, oh, boy, this is not a game that I want to, like, play for any extended period of time.
It's hard to watch, but it's a little easier to wrap your head around when you play it. And I beat it on hard. I played it, like, I think I was playing pretty well by the end of it. I knew what I was doing. I knew I'd kind of exploit the engine to slow down and stuff like that to make it work. But even though I rated it, a 5 because I don't think it's very playable, I still think it's, like, magnificently beautiful. I love it. And, like, I know Damon was standing next to me during some of this. We had watched, there's, like, cutscenes in the game. And the cutscenes are, like, they didn't have cutscenes in Star Fox. Yeah. They had, like, the intro, maybe, and, like, a few other things. This has, like, pre-rendered, not rendered, they're not even pre-rendered. They're probably an engine. Mm. They have, like, a giant spaceship coming out of warp, and then, like, a bunch of spaceships, like, coming out of it.
There's
and
a big dragon.
And then there's, like, dialogue during it, a big, big space dragon. And it's all done just like you would do in a game today.
Yeah.
On the Super Nintendo with, like, a big 3D cutscene.
Yeah.
It's so cool. But those big blocky things, they don't work well when you're playing with a controller.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be vindicated once people play it for themselves. I mean, the question about why review it in the context of 2017, it is 2017. In what other context are you supposed to review something?
And gosh, Super Metroid holds up pretty good in 2017.
Yeah. So
Super Mario World, Link to the Past. Those are all tens.
That's exactly, even in the context of it appearing, on a collection of these other games, that makes you realize why you can't really give something like Star Fox 2 a hard pass when, like, some of those other 20-plus-year-old games are still some of the greatest games of all time and don't feel any less playable. Like, that's the difference between, like, the 16-bit generation and the 8-bit generation. I have nostalgia for 8-bit games, so I can go back to them and play them. But divorcing, like, my own personal experience from it, those games are clunkier and more obtuse and harder to play, whereas the 16-bit games, I think, are really eternal and will be around.
Yeah, I mean, that's what that generation was sort of all about, refinement.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I love retro games. I love checking out old games, especially obscure stuff on arcade, like Game Gear and Atari Lynx and all that stuff. But more often than not, my experience is more like, this is awesome and weird. It's so cool that I'm checking this out, but it's not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You would, more often than not,
would you come into work and recommend it to a bunch of people? Like, that's a test that a game has to pass for me, right? Yeah. And man, that collection, like, I said this in my review, that's the worst game in the collection. And it's a canceled game.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. That's fine. But there's games in that collection that hold up. And if I reviewed them today, I'd give them a 10.
Yeah.
And there's games in that collection which I'd give fives to. And, like, I don't think Mario Kart holds up.
Well, I was about to say, what do you think the second worst? Mario Kart? Kirby
and
Street
and, like,
Force?
I love F-Zero, but, like, it doesn't work very well as a racing game now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, F-Zero and Mario Kart, I have a tremendous amount of love for the 16-bit versions, but they got better over time, right?
And even that alone is, like, not a great way to evaluate a game, but, like, do the controls work? Like, for some of this, they don't. They don't really work really well. The D-pad is not great for things that are even simulating 3D. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's good for 2D games.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have it. Like, that's what that's so cool. When you play Yoshi's Island, you're like, playing this in analog stick would suck. Yeah. It's great to play this on a Super Nintendo controller. And that's what's so great about this system.
And the system's mini. The controller is pretty much a one-to-one replica of the
original. Feels great.
Yeah. Hmm. I love that controller.
Good controller.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the last big game out this week, Ruiner, which is the very difficult game that I was alluding to last week. I ended up giving it a 6 out of 10.
One commenter nailed it, by the way.
Oh, what was that?
You said guess the game.
That's cool.
Oh, one actually did? Ruiner. Oh, I didn't see that. No, everyone was guessing Cuphead.
Yeah.
Which was incorrect, yeah. But that was also a very good guess.
Yeah.
No, it's too bad. It's a very cool, slick-looking, synthwave, cyberpunk, top-down shooter game. So it seems like a very damey game, but it just turned out the gameplay didn't quite hit the sweet spot for me. Like I talked about how it's very difficult. It's like punishingly difficult, exhaustingly difficult. I talked about it in my review, and like, I don't mind a challenge. You know, games can certainly be difficult. That's not like, it's like the difficulty isn't the selling point for me, though, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, the game needs to be fun and enjoyable. And if the difficulty is like getting, it's like, this is me and this is the fun. And the difficulty is like, hey, how's it going? That's when it becomes, that's when it becomes a problem for me. That one didn't quite work out for me.
Yeah, aesthetically, it's so cool, though.
That's it's so cool. It's got a really cool style, yeah. And I really like the music.
It doesn't change much, though, right?
No, it's very samey. There's like 14 levels, and you could look at any of them, and you can't really see a progression through like different.
There's like this like dismemberment engine when you kill enemies, where they like blow apart.
It's very, it's a very like brutal, violent game, and like the enemies die appropriately depending on what type of weapon you're using, whether it's a gun or a flamethrower or explosives or like a laser, and they disintegrate, and or just their skeletons will fall to the ground. So I like all of that. I like all of that.
Good stuff.
I didn't enjoy being like just locked in room after room after room, just swarms and swarms of enemies. You know, oh, you died. Well, I guess I'll try again. Oh, died. Well,
are skeletons zombies?
Unless they're reanimated.
Well, the same with mummies, right?
No, skeletons aren't zombies.
Same with mummies, right? If they're reanimated, are they then zombies?
If they were zombies, we'd call them zombies.
So mummies aren't zombies?
No.
But they're the dead reanimated.
That's fine.
Zombies have to be from the Caribbean.
So what's a zombie?
A zombie is a zombie. That's why we have separate words for
it. But if you were going to describe a zombie without using the word zombie, what would you say?
All right, so this is like...
Walking Dead.
You're catching me in a trap where I'm going to say the reanimated dead, and you're going to say, but that's what a mummy is. Yeah. But the point is, it's a family of undead, of which there's zombies, and there's reanimated skeletons, and there's mummies. Hmm. And they're all
what
under
about Dracula's?
They're all under, and Dracula.
What about Frankenstein's?
And they're all under the umbrella of undead.
Yeah.
So skeletons, they have to have some kind of magic holding them together.
Right.
That's a good point. Zombies just have to have flesh.
Okay, so what if you got a zombie? So zombies coming towards you. You have identified it as a zombie.
Yeah.
What if we wrap it up? What if we hold it down and we wrap it up?
What if
a skeleton?
What if you burn all of the skin off the zombie?
Yeah.
Mm. What are you looking at me for? I don't have any answers for you, man.
I don't know, Mr. The airport doesn't have its own fire department.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
So Ruiner is what I've been playing lately. It is time to share what we've been playing. But along with Ruiner, I also finally started Destiny 2.
Oh, it was nice knowing you.
No, I mean, it's totally fun. I
how are you playing it?
I've been playing it by myself.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's been fine so far.
Just a story mode, basically.
I think I'm level 7, level 8.
So yeah, you could play all the way through the campaign by yourself.
Yeah, so it's
to level 20, to the cap, just fine by yourself.
That's my intention, and to be fair, we get the benefit of getting mini games through work that we don't have to pay $60 for. But my intention is to play that game like a single player, like go through the campaign. And
you can totally do that just fine.
And then put it down. I don't think it's going to be like a lifestyle game in the way that like, you know, World of Warcraft is for a lot of people.
Yeah. It's a totally beautiful game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm just like telling people.
You understand what's going on.
What they know. Yeah. There's actually a story with real stakes. And like
and interesting characters. Yeah.
And then, of course, the gunplay is super satisfying.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's totally enjoyable. I'm on board.
Yeah. I've been playing a ton of Destiny, which really surprised me because I didn't care about the first one. Like I did the IGN first for us, but I never touched it after that. But I'm a huge old school Bungie fan. Like I love Halo 1-3 and Reach and ODST. And so I jumped in this and the shooting feels incredible as you expect from Bungie. I really did enjoy the story and the worlds you go to. Yeah. And I'm having a lot of fun post game. Like I did the first half of the raid over the weekend. And that was the first time like I really did something where I ended up communicating. And it was like, we're fortunate enough to just know a bunch of people who play the game. So we were able to play it with a bunch of coworkers or ex-coworkers.
Did you get some goods to carry you through?
did I get some goods to carry me through? Well, yeah. The problem was we...
Goods, I mean good players, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had, I think half of the team had already beaten the raid.
Like, because that's what they call it, backpacking, where it's like, man, I am not that great at this game. My thing is, carry me on
through
the raid. What
I realized is all the stuff in the raid where you had to use your noggin,
yeah.
I'm really good at, but then when you had to shoot things, I'm like, oh, I'm bad at this.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm not as good as everyone else at shooting things.
You completed the raid?
No, we did it. We split it over two nights. We played 6 hours and beat half of it, and then they ended up finishing it without me on Monday because I had to work Monday night.
Did you get cred for that?
I didn't get any cred. Well, I have keys to where I think if I go back to the raid, I can get some cool objects in the basement. But every Tuesday, the game resets, and so I'm no longer halfway through the raid. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I should also point out that even if you are playing by yourself, there is still like a multiplayer cooperative component to it because you just encounter other people.
It's
there are public events.
Those
and
public
like,
events are super exciting.
Yeah,
when
it's
all
like,
of a sudden,
whoa, these guys are trying to take this big thing down. I'm coming to help you guys. Yeah.
And everyone gets shared rewards.
And everyone gets shared rewards. And then you just continue on whatever mission you're on.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Good game.
Justin. I'm next. I am playing Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yes.
It's a PC RPG in the classic computer RPG style. I played a little bit of Divinity 1 and really, really liked it on like a systems level, like the combat and like the world. But the story was too goofy. Like, it was a borderline comedy how little it took itself seriously.
I liked that part of it. But
and the sequel is much better written. It still actually, you know, has moments of levity and has comedy relief, but it's done in like, this is like a comedy relief moment or character, and then the story itself is a lot richer and more fully featured. I was kind of on the fence. I mean, I liked the game enough to play it every night, but I was trying to decide, like, do I really, really like this game? Am I really into it? And I had a moment last night where totally sold me on it. One of those little moments. You have many, many dialogue responses that you can give people based off your class or your stats or, you know, whatever. And this game goes above and beyond most. Like, sometimes what you're wearing, people will respond to you differently. Sometimes if you have an item in your inventory, you can just be like, oh, I have that. Here you go. Like, you can just give them the thing. It knows what's in your inventory. And I had one where I just loot. I loot everything, and sometimes you loot body parts. So I just had I had a foot, and I have some severed heads and some hands and just some stuff in my inventory. And I had an opportunity to give a crazy man a severed leg that he was after. And the dialogue option was like, it's like in asterisks. It's like you realize in horror that he's talking about the severed leg that you're carrying in your inventory for completely innocent reasons. And I just thought it was so cool that the game recognized that and lampshaded and called out the fact that it's completely insane, like the inventory systems in RPGs, and then it rewarded sort of my OCD take anything that's not nailed down system. And,
I love that. Everyone who's playing it's been raving about it. We gave it like a 9.7, I think.
We gave that a very high
score. And, GameSpot gave it a 10 out of 10, which it's actually, to be super clear, if you're willing to wait, like to me, this will be a really, really perfect holiday break game, not just because it's like an 80-hour game, but because it does get a little bit buggy and shaky towards the end.
Oh, do you think they're...
Well, I mean, the game's whole thing is, I mean, I almost hate to say it because every game is like player choice, but this one like really is player choice in the way that like you kill a character in like hour 8 and then it changes like hour 80 of that game and it fulfills that promise to a really, really impressive degree, but it can also kind of like break down sometimes. Like as you get to the end of the game, like it's obvious that they didn't really count for like every single permutation.
Sure.
So if someone's willing to wait for a patch or two and then enjoy one of the greatest computer RPGs of the decade.
This is PC only, right?
PC only for now. But it has full controller support and the original Divinity came.
Does it have PS4 support?
It does not have PS4.
Okay, that's how
I'm gonna say I'm playing on my PC on my couch with an Xbox controller.
I think it was the definitive edition of the first game came to consoles. So
relatively,
I assume that'll happen.
Yeah, cool. Since the controller support is already baked in and like integrated into the UI and everything else, and because the original came to console, this will come to console at some point.
Cool. Doesn't seem like there's stuff in it that couldn't come to console.
Sure.
Like it's not all key.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Cool.
It's really good. All right, Sam.
Did you already do yours?
It's been Destiny, and then I'm excited to jump into Cuphead.
Oh man.
Bang my head against the wall.
That.
Cry.
Well, first of all, I played like the first 15 minutes of Final Fantasy 3-6 again in that NES Classic Collection.
That's
and
good.
Like
it's a good video game.
Were I not at work, I would have wept like a baby.
Music's so good.
So beautiful. And what an amazing intro to that game. Like if I could just withdraw from life and play Final Fantasy 6 again, I would. Mm-hmm. Like what a wonderful experience that was the first time around. And to have that in that collection is really, really
also the emulation on this thing is
it looks so good.
Yeah.
But I've been playing...
Is 2 on there? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's just 6.
Yeah.
Or 3.
There's a SeaWorld Dig 2 I've been playing. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been playing the most of. I'm like really addicted to it right now, and I'm just kind of over the hump of like, I might be past the point where I'm like hopelessly thinking about it all the time. But it was a it's a Metroidvania this time around, yeah. Which I wouldn't have called it before.
No.
Because you mainly just dug downwards and did stuff. And this, you pass things that you know you can't get into, and you go sideways a lot as much as you go down, which is cool. And then you get some new attachments and weapons and stuff like that that are like really platform-based. And I guess I just won't spoil it for people, but yeah, it's just a lot more mobility, and it makes it like a really good Metroid-style game.
Nice.
It's really cool. And that game is like for people that like that loop where you're just digging and collecting and buying something, an upgrade, yep. And then you're like, oh, I'm just going to do a little bit more to get this upgrade, do a little bit more to get this upgrade. It's just the best at that.
Yeah.
I'm having more fun with it than I had with Metroid.
With the new Metroid?
Yeah.
Well.
Underrated thing about SeaWorld Dig 2 is its logo. I know it's weird. It's just, I think it's really great. I think it's like one of the best video game logos.
Oh, interesting. That's funny.
That studio does great work. The first SteamWorld is great. SteamWorld Heist is fun. Is really good.
And that was a very different type of game.
That's a turn-based strategy game.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Another thing I'm excited to play this weekend, I think it comes out on Friday. A bunch of people have been playing it in the office, is Golf Story.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I hope that's
cool. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I know it looks gorgeous. Like it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Cool 16-bit style graphic for it. Is SteamWorld on? It's on PS4 also, right?
Yeah, and Vita and Switch,
which is so cool. Like that means it's more widely available.
Yeah, because
I think the first one was just on 3DS, and then it was on.
It came to other stuff.
No,
like
it's on everything.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah,
it was 3DS first, and then like I played it on Steam, for example.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I hope a lot of people play it. It's just a totally worth your time.
Awesome.
Well, along with all these new games that are coming out each month, older games are resurfaced on the PlayStation Plus and Xbox Games with Gold programs. And
doozies.
PlayStation Plus next month
so amazing.
Gets an incredible game. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain is free for PlayStation Plus subscribers next month.
When I saw this morning, I was very tired and had my coffee. I assumed it was Ground Zeroes. Yeah. I was like, Metal Gear 5. I'm like, this has to be Ground Zeroes. Which is
they
like
already did that one.
I think they did it right before Phantom Pain came out. And I was like, this is not only one of the best games of 2015, but one of the best games of the generation, and legitimately 100 hours
hope you can get through it.
Masterpiece gameplay.
Perfect gameplay.
Yeah.
Totally incomprehensible story. Perfect gameplay.
Yeah. I didn't really like it that much.
No, I liked it.
You're not a Metal Gear boy.
I'm not a Metal Gear boy.
We used to get in trouble for talking about this so much on Game Scoop. It was that type of game.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It's so good.
We'll be like, stop talking about Metal Gear.
Would you deny, though, that Justin, that's a pretty good game to get for free?
No, it's an incredible game to get for free.
Also, it's just one of those, like, man, it's October just got really busy because I'm like, well, I have all these. I want to play Shadow of War and I want to play Wolfenstein and I want to play Assassin's Creed, but oh man, what if I go back and play this? I don't even know why I'm excited for this because I own the game.
Yeah. It's so good. Also on PlayStation Plus is the Amnesia Collection, which is
Spookies.
I don't know how many are in that collection.
I believe it's two. It's Amnesia the Dark Descent and Amnesia Machine for Pigs.
Wow, man.
Both games are pretty good. Yeah. Number one is very scary. Number two is more interesting than scary.
Interesting. Horror games appropriate for the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
And then over on Games with Gold, Gone Home, which is also probably appropriate for this time of year.
I kept thinking that a skeleton was going to come out.
I thought.
Yeah.
Or like a wolf.
That haunted house that you're in.
It has elements of a ghost story.
Yeah.
The Turing Test is in Games with Gold. I'm not sure. Anyone know?
It was like Portal. It's a...
Portal, oh.
Yeah, it's a first-person puzzle game where you go from like sort of room to room, but it's this really interesting dialogue you have with an AI that is starting to become self-aware, but then that sort of folds into the gameplay itself.
Is it
not
good?
It's good. It's not as good as Portal, but I think I reviewed it and gave it a 7-something, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember Quantum Conundrum?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Yes, Kim Swift's game. Yeah.
I feel like there's a feature on games that are really good, but didn't get as much attention as they deserve because it's like an inferior version of something else.
Sure.
Mm. Like, I don't think there's anyone that would say Quantum Conundrum is better than Portal, so but I think a lot of people have the attitude of, like, why bother?
Yeah.
But it's still, like, if Portal didn't exist, people would be like, oh, man, Quantum Conundrum's great.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe that's not a feature. Like, what's, like I don't know, maybe B-tier, like, platformers or something like that.
Bubsy?
Never Bubsy.
I mean, if Bubsy was the only game that existed, Bubsy would be the greatest game of all time.
Hashtag never Bubsy.
Hashtag never Bubsy.
I played Arrow the Acrobat 1 and 2 recently.
Why?
Recently?
What?
Yeah. No, I don't think they're...
How's that bad?
Did you beat
them?
I had never played... No, I had never played them before. I just wanted to check them out.
Rystar? Yeah.
But Arrow the Acrobat games, I don't think are very good.
No, they're not. Rocket Knight? The problem with that, and kind of Bubsy, is that the character is a little bit big and animated, so it feels like you can't see enough on the screen while you're moving around as Arrow. Do you feel that way?
That wasn't really the problem I had with me.
Obscuring of stuff for me.
It's just a little generic, and there's a certain type of game from that era that just looks kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't need to talk about
Arrow. Not everything can be annoyed.
Yeah. Also, Rayman 3 HD with Games with Gold, and quite an old school, quite a deep cut, Medal of Honor Airborne.
Well, what?
Is on there, yeah.
Yeah, that was the whole thing where, like, why? It did the PUBG thing before PUBG.
Maybe the last Medal of Honor before it was rebooted into more of a modern thing?
Yeah, yeah, because the last one that sort of shuttered it was Medal of Honor, the Beardo one. Yeah.
But even that was a more modern.
That was modern. Setting. I mean, you played a modern, like.
What? Airborne is still a World War II.
Yeah, it's setting. World War II. And I remember it being, well, its interesting mechanic was every mission starts with you jumping out of a plane and you can land anywhere in the map and it sort of changes everything. So
that's
on paper,
the only PUBG aspect of it.
Yeah, why I said, that's what I meant when I said it's PUBG. Because you start everything by jumping out of a plane. But then the difference is when you land, PUBG is a good video game and this one's not.
Well,
I don't think Spielberg is involved in that series.
The original.
Very first
Medal of Honor.
What way? Like, I missed that. I mean, I wasn't playing games.
He was a producer. That was back when he had a partnership with EA doing stuff like this. And then he had.
Was that the Boomblox era?
Yep.
It was before Boomblox.
Was later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least 10 years before Boomblox.
Really interesting.
But,
yeah.
So he kind of did the story and stuff like that.
I don't know. He's probably, like you said, a producer. Like, so he's like sort of looking at it from.
I think his level of involvement was fairly.
His level of involvement was making Save a Private Ryan and letting them take things from it.
Was this like his AI era?
No.
This would have been around AI because this would have been late 90s.
Oh, that's what.
So what else came out then?
Saving Private Ryan.
What do you mean? What else?
Okay, I guess it's directly related.
Oh no, I think his involvement with the series is he made Saving Private Ryan, and then they're like, we want to adapt that into a video game, pretty much.
Yeah.
And why didn't they just call it Saving?
Well, it must have been a licensing issue I don't know.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I missed all of that. That's cool history. I'd like to look into that.
Yeah.
He had that cancel game LMNO.
Yeah.
And then LMNO, I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was
that weird alien dynamo.
Along with Boomblox, he had a game called LMNO, which is about
Boomblox 1 and 2 are awesome.
Yeah.
Really and good. It's sad they're trapped on the console.
They put them on Switch now.
Yeah.
You can feel all the boomblocks? I'm not going to do that.
Maybe that could work.
You can feel all the boomblocks?
You guys remember Elebits?
Not down there.
Elebits, yeah. I liked Elebits.
It was at the launch, near launch of the Wii.
Okay, I promised we would talk about PlayStation Vita, and the reason why it's back in the news is because somebody asked Andrew House, the Sony Interactive Entertainment president.
Oh yeah, that's a cool story.
About whether or not, in the wake of the success of the Nintendo Switch, would they reconsider a handheld device, maybe a hybrid device like the Switch.
Did he say hell yeah and crush a beer?
Yeah, slammed it against his forehead. Yeah, he said that, except the opposite of that is what he said.
Hell no, and sipped a glass of.
No, it does not sound like they do plan on revisiting in the handheld space. Andrew House said the Nintendo device is a hybrid device, and that's a different approach and strategy. We have not seen that as being a huge market opportunity. And then he continues.
That's the problem. They didn't see it as a huge market. Now they're missing out.
Yeah. He continues, the Vita experience was that outside of Japan and Asia, there was not a huge demand.
Yep.
The lifestyle shift toward the dominance of smartphones as the single key device that is always with you was the determining factor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
What about a PlayStation Classic?
I would love a PS1.
You think that Sony's thinking about that, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's more challenging.
Look at the incredible success of Crash Bandicoot this summer.
I mean, I think it is inevitable that next fall we're going to get an N64 classic.
Yeah.
I think next summer.
For some reason, but if that's likely, then PS.
I think we'll get Game Boy first.
Ooh.
Oh, that'd be cute.
Would it be a handheld?
The old, yeah, it's gotta be. It's gotta be.
That you can that you charge via USB?
Yes.
But the thing is, I don't want a Game Boy one. Like, I want a Game Boy Color and a GBA one, but I don't want a Game Boy one.
Also, what if it knows some good Game Boy games?
What if it doesn't have a backlight?
What's the spirit game with the gangster ghost?
It's so good.
Octai.
No.
There's this game where you're like a detective.
Oh, Ghost. Yeah, Ghost Trick.
No.
Stop it. He's talking about a Game Boy game.
Black and white.
A black
Do you know
white
what the Game Boy is?
If this was 20 questions, I would get it. I
Avenging
can't
Spirit.
Avenging Spirit.
Murdered Soul Suspect.
Geist.
Now you got
LA Noire.
Visions of a Game Boy Classic and Game Boy Advance Classic.
But they already said, like, it's funny that they were so open and upfront about it, but they said the NES Classic is returning next summer,
yeah. A year from now.
And so.
What if I have more games in it?
Well, I mean,
it'll be like a deluxe edition.
Yeah. I think it will. I think it'll
wireless controllers.
Clu-Clu Land will be.
Longer controllers in like one or two.
Nobody wants to play Clu-Clu Land.
There is a cool canceled. There's a cool Shigeru Miyamoto NES game that never came out here. That would be really cool to put in it. It's called, it's called Devil World.
It came to me. They'll re-release the NES Classic with NES Remix built into it.
Ooh, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait for NES Remix to come back for the Switch.
I want them to do SNES.
Yeah, SNES Remix, sure. Remix it all.
Oh, man.
Okay, whew, I'm getting excited.
PlayStation would be good. I would like PlayStation because I missed it.
PS1, yeah.
And then I would also like an official Sega-produced Genesis.
I mean, how crazy would it be if they cherry-pick some of those Square games? You get Resident Evil 1, get Crash, Spyro.
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. It is harder than it is for something this because as a CD-based system, those games had CD sound and FMV files that were just gigantic. So they have to figure out the file size. Like it's a really
could be a case of diminishing returns. Maybe there are only 10 games on it. I don't know.
But even on the N64, like they already like those games are like 32 megs, right? So it's not a problem on that console. I made that number up, but they're
you get into a weird licensing thing. Like, can you release Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 with that soundtrack? Like,
no.
Yeah, probably not.
Wow, Justin just definitively said no. There's two things Justin knows. It's you can't release it, and no Firefighters.
What happened when they did the HD version of Tony Hawk?
I think they completely changed the soundtrack. I think they removed Offspring or Bad Religion from Crazy Taxi when they released it on iPhone.
They didn't have any of the licensed music.
No.
I thought people just complained about that endlessly.
Rest in peace.
On Steam, they patch old GTA games to like remove songs from the radio stations as the licenses expire. It's like they just patch it and like Kanye's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
For GTA 5?
4 and 5. They occasionally like, they had the license to use the song for like 15 years or whatever. And if you have the game on disc, you know, fine, you have it. But if you buy it digitally, they're obligated to remove it.
That's the space they can't
Half
control.
Of my band is in another band that has a song in GTA 5. And I wonder if that's still in there.
Hmm.
Because I was good money for a while.
I was trying to name a band from GTA 5.
Was it Tupac?
Yeah,
it wasn't Tupac. It was nobody.
Half of your band is in Tupac.
I am Sinistar.
All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Steve in Pittsburgh did. And he says, thank you for bringing up Sinistar.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's one that I haven't played since a Sega Genesis port that included Joust. It might have been a Williams Collection release back then, but I do want to play that game again. I was too younger than 10 at the time, to appreciate it. Is it available anywhere else? And if not, if you could have one arcade port from that era ported, which one would you pick? I did some digging. The Midway Arcade Origins that was released for 360 and PS3 includes Sinistar. And that game is backwards compatible on Xbox One.
Oh, cool.
So you could play it there.
Yeah, those Midway collections, I already mentioned this show, strangely, are so good. That's how I experienced a lot of arcade games for the first time.
Me too, and in the Namco collections too, on the original PlayStation.
Yeah,
that's the first.
Those are famous.
That's how I played Tower of Druaga.
Ooh,
oh,
cool.
That game's so good. Remember the Namco Museum? I don't know if it was the first one or one of the sequels. It had like a 3D... museum. You could walk around it and then like walk up to the like arcade cabinet.
That's really cool.
And then it would go into like the emulation.
So cool.
The Namco Museum I had on PlayStation that included Ms. Pac-Man included like a vertical monitor mode.
But Ms. Pac-Man wasn't even a Namco game, so that's really cool because they kind of cut it out of their other collection.
It was on one of the Namco collections.
No, I'm sure it was. It's just like at some point that licensing got weird, or they kept leaving it out.
As for porting
Midway game,
an arcade game from the Sinistar era, Sinistar was out in 1982. Mm. So I would love Burger Time to come back.
Burger Time's really good.
Also an 82 game.
I brought up last week too, but Robotron I think holds up
the same year.
Also. Yeah,
I was a big Tapper fan.
Tapper's really cool.
What year's Tapper out?
It's on brand.
83.
Yeah. The original Tapper, not Root Beer Tapper.
No, that Root Beer Tapper. I'm drinking soda.
Unless not your father's Root Beer Tapper.
Ooh, yeah. I like it.
I wonder with 4K monitors if vector graphics can finally look good on televisions, because they never look right. They look vector is like a way to display something where it's drawn in basically math with like colored lines. It's not a regular television.
Yeah.
Only arcade machines run those monitors and an oscilloscope. you have science class right now. But they look different. They just look different than everything. And like, if we can start imitating those, it would be really cool. But
yeah, to play with the old Star Wars game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Star Wars is just like a really amazing arcade game. It draws in 3D. Like, it's smooth as butter. That's so cool. And it just looks like it's drawn in light.
Smooth as blue milk butter.
All right, this is Victor G in New York City. And he says, going to get right to it. Ask you guys how you feel about the use of curse words in video games and curse words in general.
Mm. Great.
I'm a longtime listener. I've noticed in some episodes that their F-bombs, among other words, aren't bleeped. Well, how is this
we
decided?
Tried to swear. I swore on this episode.
How is this? See, I haven't even noticed. That's how it's decided.
I said the S-H-I-T word earlier.
I just miss it or...
we'll catch it in post.
Or not.
Or we won't.
He says also tons of video games showcase cursing in its dialogue, be it part of a cutscene or just general banter between characters. Does this enhance your experience at all, or does it deter you from advancing in the game's story? Just to be clear, I'm not offended by curse words, and I happen to be a big fan of these sentence enhancers. I'm only curious to hear your opinions around the table. Thanks, guys. Keep the info and the laughs coming.
I think cursing works in any media when it makes sense. Like, we don't need cursing in Mario. I don't need cursing in Zelda. But like in GTA, it totally makes sense. Like in a mature story, it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
In bad writing, it stands out.
Oh, in bad writing, it stands out.
Have you always noticed that?
Like
when they're overusing it.
In Life is Strange, a lot of times there'll be scenes and I'm like, that's not how anyone talks or uses swears.
Or bad like voice, bad like VO sessions.
Yeah, totally. I don't know.
It's funny. How about in like PG-13 movies where they're allowed one F-bomb?
The one,
And it's like, how are they going to spend it?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah. You're allowed.
And I don't know if it's the same on television, but I'm watching The Magicians on television right now, which is on Sci-Fi. And so I don't know what the rule like. Is Sci-Fi allowed to do whatever they
you
want?
Can watch,
they still,
you can watch it uncensored.
Are they? Well, it is uncensored.
Okay, I'm just saying, probably watching the uncensored version.
Was it censored on Sci-Fi?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just in broadcast.
But it wasn't with beeps. They do like the sort of the silence thing, which is what I think Breaking Bad would do sometimes for Mad Men.
When it would air on AMC, they just like silence the words.
Yeah, or like
when you watch hip-hop songs in the 90s.
Yeah. And when you watch it on Blu-ray, you actually hear it.
And that's what, I guess bringing it back around to video games, it's odd if it's like one. Like if that's the tone of the game, if it's GTA, then fine. And if it's not in there, it's fine. But if you hear a swear after like 10 hours of not hearing one, then it just seems odd.
I don't know. I think that's just like life in general of like, I don't know.
Sometimes you go 10 hours without hearing
sometimes
a swear.
Sometimes you do. And like we have to like, I think Damon, you amongst all of us at work, like you do some of these giant live shows to where like you don't swear during Comic-Con or E3 because that's, you can't be like, oops, let's try it again. Like, well, just don't do that.
Max tried that.
It's like being a teacher.
Yeah.
It's what?
It's like being a teacher.
Yeah,
you have
to swear while you're teaching.
Can't be up there and swear.
I think that's the thing.
Unless you're a college professor, and then you can, and then you seem real cool.
Yeah, the coolest professor.
I think this job has, like, I can subconsciously turn on and off swearing just fine.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, when I'm hosting Pub Trivia, I can swear as much as I want. It's totally fine.
Like, I thought about it the whole time I was swearing and I'd done this episode, and I was like, okay, I'm going to use this to make a point. I really did. I'm not joking. Like, it wasn't like a slip up.
I have, like, a cuss meter. It comes up, and then I use the cuss. Yeah.
As a father.
You have to build up the cuss meter before you can spend it.
You learn real fast. That's why I say goodness gracious so much.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that in PG-13 movies you get one F-bomb, but I don't know if that works in games for T-rated games. Mm, are you allowed one F-bomb?
Yeah, I don't know.
The whole game
language is more important than like violence.
Yeah.
Well, it's America, so nudity is most important.
That's the worst thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
One thing that we talk about here, here's a little behind-the-scenes look at IGN. We cover a lot of media that might be violent or objectionable in many ways, and a lot of it has swearing in it, and a lot of it has things that, are adult themes, and we cover those. Like, we like them, and we cover them, and sometimes we don't like them, and sometimes we're critical of them.
R-rated movies.
But that's what we cover. We'll show a clip of a game or a movie, and when that's what our editorial kind of purview allows. But that doesn't mean we have to act that way. And in fact, we're not supposed to. So when we're presenting ourselves, we are not filthy people. We're definitely not all those other things. But we try not to swear in a lot of contexts. And the reason is because that's just, we think we can express ourselves more clearly in other ways.
We're supposed to behave the same and use the same language, whether we're playing, Mario on a Let's Play or GTA on a Let's Play. Like, the content of the game isn't supposed to inform our behavior.
I did always find it funny, though, because we were playing, I think we were streaming The Order 1886, and pretty early on in that game, you go to a brothel, and just everyone's naked, and Max and I were like, it's really funny that we can't swear. We can walk around this brothel as much as we want.
Ladies of the night.
Yeah. Ladies of the night.
Yeah, and like I think that I'm always into reaching wider and wider audiences, and there's a large audience of young people and people that are just that object to swearing that I totally want to reach.
Yeah. We get letters every once in a while. It's like, I'm 11 and I love Scoop, and I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, or I've absolutely gotten letters from parents that say, I love listening to your show, but sometimes it's on when my kid's around. So if you could not drop those F-bombs, that would be great. And I totally get it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
tell your kids that we're villains.
We're
don't swear like the villains, like the radio villains.
I have bad news. Your kids are playing GTA 5. Yeah. Because that's what all the kids are playing everywhere.
I also have some terrible news. At school, all the kids are swearing as well. Yeah.
The radio villains is a really good name for something.
We're the radio villains.
And kids love Game of Thrones. That's crazy.
Well, that can be the name of our mature podcast where we do swear a lot.
Yeah.
Do
kids love Game of Thrones?
That's a thing, yeah.
I don't know if I would have been into
guys,
it.
Guys, I have a direct line to middle school. Yeah. The kids all know Game of Thrones.
All right.
But we also see it doesn't always perform in our Snapchat content.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Snapchat.
Because their parents are looking.
That's why.
Gotta get through. Gotta go.
And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Jack Martin in Charlton, Massachusetts.
Charlton, okay.
Charlton Chew.
Let the questioning begin.
Is it a part of the SNES classic?
No.
All right, guys. That was a bad question to lead off with.
Big old 21 games.
I did. Justin.
Justin's just mad that you took away the first question from it.
Does this game take place on Earth?
Unclear.
We lost a question for that.
Just for the record, Tetris 1 is on Earth.
Yeah.
Because the rocket takes off at the end.
Yeah,
and the Kremlin's in the background.
Yeah. But they change it to USA. Yeah. And then it's like, that doesn't.
This makes sense.
I'm listening to Russian history. Music this whole time.
Is this a Japanese game?
Nope.
All right.
Is this game really. Oh, you go ahead.
Okay, no, it's fine. You can go out of order like a little wheel.
Yeah. We screwed up the order. Did this game come out. Before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Is this a current generation video game?
No.
All right. Well,
it's five questions.
Is this on the Nintendo Wii PS3 era of consoles?
Wait, those are.
Are those? No, those are right.
Yeah.
Wii and PS3 are right.
What was Wii U also last?
PS2.
What's up?
Last generation was Wii and Wii U, pretty much.
All right. Is this a console game?
And by, do you mean, was this?
Is this only on consoles?
No.
Okay.
guys, we know it's not one of these.
It wasn't Japanese made, right?
No, it was not.
I mean, was this game developed in America?
No.
Okay. Good, that's really good.
Brazilian game, guys.
is this a video game where you see your character on the screen?
No.
Ooh, it's gotta be a first person. I'm looking through my eyes.
Could be second person. No, you'd still see your character on the screen.
Yeah.
Would be second person. Get out.
Is this from after, what's a good year to be after?
Like that Battletoads boss.
It's between 2000 and 2017.
No, it's not, because it's not this generation, so it'd be 2000 to 2013.
Yep.
So should we ask after 2000? What year did Wii come out? 97?
Yeah, I mean, you could say see generation. Like, is this of the...
But he said it's on PC, or it's not just on consoles. So that makes it.
Yeah.
First person game developed in Europe.
You're assuming. Could be Canada.
It could be
Ubisoft Montreal very easily.
It's not.
What?
Ubisoft. Is the develop... should we ask about sequels?
Yeah, is this part of a series?
No.
What?
It's going to be... It's that shooter, Red. Red, what was it? Red
13?
No, that was the line. Are you thinking of the cel-shaded one?
Yeah.
13.
The one with David Duchovny? No, Red 13 is the name of the... Isn't Red 13 the name of the lion?
No, just 13 is the name of the
yes,
game.
Oh, yes, that's right. You said Red, and I was thinking of the lion from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, so was I. I was thinking Red 13.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, it's just 13?
Yes.
Just 13.
Oh. I feel like I've done that multiple times on this show.
Maybe.
Is this finally the episode where it's the single-player the PS2 shooter Black?
Yeah, I know.
Where I think it's Black.
That was Criterion.
And then every week I say it's PS2 exclusive, and every week a commenter says it was also on Xbox.
Oh, wait, we don't know if it's on Earth, though.
Should we ask if this was on PCs? Or if it was a console exclusive?
Why is it unclear if this is on Earth? That trips me up. Because if it's in space, it'd be like a blatant...
Is this of the PS2, Xbox, GameCube generation?
No. That's 10.
So we know then it's of the PS3 generation. Because it's not this gen. It's not that gen.
Mm-hmm. Zach and Wiki.
Wait, unless he's doing some like it wasn't Perfect a Dark exclusive. When it came out. Like
it's not a console exclusive.
Oh, that's good. And it, okay. So PS3 generation, no sequels or not part of a series.
Not part of a series.
First person. We're assuming it's a shooter, right?
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
what are some?
Is it a shooter?
No.
Oh, that eliminates a lot of things I'm thinking of.
Can we narrow it down by company in any way? Or does it not help that we know? Because publishers can be...
Well, yeah. So it's not Rare because it's not a console exclusive. So it's, you know, it's Ubisoft or... I mean, it's probably Ubisoft.
Wait, what? So wait.
We can ask if it's Ubisoft.
We never said... So I asked if you could see your character, and he said no. That doesn't necessarily... If this is like a God game... Yeah. You can't see your character.
What if, or if you're, really or if you're a ghost?
So we can go with genre.
Like is this a like strategy. A, is this like a first person game? Like when I'm looking, does it look like a shooter but without the guns?
You want to burn the question?
Ask if it's played from a first person.
Is it first person?
I thought you already asked. That.
No, I didn't. I asked, can you see your character? But what I just realized is you can't see your character in SimCity.
But you're not a character.
Well, it can't be. You can't see your character in first.
Wait,
person.
Damon, don't answer that. We need to rephrase the question.
You guys are just all over the place with this.
Well,
what are you talking about? We know it's not one of the 21 games in the Nintendo Classic.
No, I mean, because he's gonna pull some Dr. Robotnik's meme machine.
Should we ask if this game's highly regarded?
I like the perspective question, but I just want to figure out the right way to put it. Yeah. So what did you say? Like, if it's like a shooter,
is this a first person game that looks like a shooter but without a gun?
Your question is this a first person game that looks like a shooter without a gun?
I'm Marty.
I'm not agreeing to this question.
Well, 2 out of 3.
The answer is no.
Oh! So that's great. So it's not like Gone Home. It's not like some first-person magic staff game.
Should we ask if it's a strategy game?
Yeah.
Is this a strategy game? That would help us.
That's not the bucket you would put it in, but strategy is involved.
Nah. Fuck. You're going to have to bleep that one.
Yeah. Like that, like is it like a MOBA? It could be a MOBA. No, MOBA's
Katamari Damacy.
No, you can see that man. You can see that man's butt.
I'm really stuck up on it being unclear if it's on Earth or not. Like I don't know what to do with that. Like that answer.
I guess is this game highly regarded? Like, is it a highly regarded video game?
Yes.
How many questions do we have left?
I mean,
I need to get this on a console. I
highly regarded can be like let's just say it was well reviewed.
Okay.
Good. What we need to ask if it's on just one. I need to get a library in mind here.
Yeah,
sure. Was this on what generation?
It was the PS3 360 generation.
Was this on PS3?
Yes.
Okay, so it was on multiple things, including PS3. That means it's not like an Xbox weird PC crossover.
Sure.
And it's not American. It's not Japanese on PS3. Should we ask about developers?
Who's developing games?
Maybe Ubisoft.
Yeah, but if it's not them, I don't even know who's left.
EA.
No, but it's not made in America.
EA is companies that are...
Was it developed by Ubisoft?
Yes.
Woo! That helps us so much.
Four questions left.
Be able to get this.
Okay.
Tom Clancy's End War?
It might be Tom Clancy's End War, honestly. No, he said not part of a series. Well, I don't know if...
Strategy.
Yeah.
What's a game by Ubisoft that's kind of has strategy stuff in it?
They didn't
you
do
can't
those.
See your character.
They didn't do those Middle Earth RTSs, did they?
No.
Which is,
should we ask if it's based on a license?
I don't know.
Tom Clancy screwed us over that one time because it was a license.
Yeah, is this based on a license?
No.
Okay.
A Ubisoft original. We should be able to get this from last gen.
There was Child of Light. There was Valiant Hearts. It's not part of a series, so no AC, no Splinter Cell, no Far Cry, no Tom Clancy.
No King Kong.
No Peter Jackson's King Kong, the movie, the game.
Wait, Child of Light wasn't that generation though, right?
Yeah, it was. Child of Light came out on the PS3.
End of last gen.
But you could see your character.
Good point.
Sort of a, not first person, but some sort of a, you know, strategy, tactics-ish game. Maybe, do they make any puzzly games?
The crew. I'm just thinking of they're like.
You know Ubisoft. We're gonna.
I know Ubisoft.
And the PS3 era, they were like, they were doing Ubisoft the Ubisoft way too.
Oh yeah, they were cranking out. Yeah.
But this is on PC and PS3 and a bunch of things. Was there a Rayman spinoff in that era?
This could be Rabbids.
Rabbids. Rabbids. Yeah, the Rabbids.
No, Rabbids is part of a license.
I don't think we call it
it's
that.
It's part of a series.
What?
Certainly.
Rabbids are absolutely licensed.
Well, but wait, it's not a license, but it's a series. It's not licensed.
The Rabbids?
Yeah.
Yes, the Rabbids are licensed.
What are you talking about? That's just the Ubisoft.
Would you say Rabbids?
Table this. Would you say that the Rabbids are licensed? Like,
No, because then you'd have to say like
it's like Mario. Mario's
yeah,
a
Mario's a license.
When we say licensed game, we mean like from a
based
movie
off another
or
medium.
A TV show.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right, back in.
I thought you were going to try to tell me that the Rabbids had been like a comic book series for 20 years. Like,
that all right.
They did weird. I don't know if it came to other platforms, but they did like that weird DS stuff. They did like Rub Rabbids. Was that them? That was Sega.
Just Dance? Did we already say it's not part of a series, though?
It's a series. Yeah. It's a really good one.
Okay. Did they do anything like that?
They did the Avatar game.
I think it's something like that. Did they do the Star Wars? No, they didn't.
No, they did Zombie U. They did
Zombie U.
The Rabbids, the Rayman games.
Wait, why?
Zombie U, because it looks like a first-person shooter without a gun. Also, it has a gun, so at certain points it just does look like.
It's not Zombie U, but I thought for a second I thought we'd done it.
I'm feeling good about Tom Clancy's End War.
I think we've had that one before.
Is this game rated M? Or is
whoa.
What?
We only have one chance after this.
No, two chances.
Well, no one will say anything.
No, one has to be the game.
No, we're at 17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have two guesses, two
plus
questions and a guess.
Is rated M really going to help this?
I don't know.
I know. I think it's good, actually.
Is that anything?
I think that's a good question.
You want to ask if it's rated M?
Mature?
No. Two questions left.
So he knew that off the top of his head, so it has to be like a kiddie game. You know? You know what I mean?
They did Prince of Persia's back then.
Yeah, there's tons of Prince of Persia.
Those are first person.
And they're also parts of big franchises. What's like a Ubisoft? I kind of want to know like if the game flopped. It surely flopped, because if it sold well, they would have made more.
Yeah,
but Ubisoft, you said it was critically well received.
Yeah, but Ubisoft is they churn those games out.
Yeah.
Oh, and it wasn't developed here. And there's a lot of Ubisoft games that were developed here. So it has to be one of their weirder studios.
No, I mean, I think it just could be Montreal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or
I mean, the only U.S. game during that generation was Rocksmith. So it's not Rocksmith.
So they did. I can't think. I mean, they did. Like, there have been a million Assassin's Creed spinoffs, some of which were more strategy-ish, but it's part of a franchise.
This is awful. I don't even know this game.
Nope. I don't like it. I feel like we have all the parts that we need.
I don't think we know what the perspective of this game is.
Damon, do you think we know the perspective?
I don't know if I'm, am I here? Am I here?
Right, so you can't see your character, so that means...
And it's not played from like a first-person style perspective, so that means it's like a god game.
Did Ubisoft do like Disney Tetris in that time?
Wait, did Ubisoft do that game by Eric Chahi?
Who's that?
He was the guy who did Out of This World and Another World. And then he did that game with them that was god... It was top-down, and you were doing god things. And I can't remember what the name of it was. And I think you were doing some like terraforming.
Black and white?
It was like that, but it also came to consoles.
Are you thinking of GOTUS?
That was no, I'm not thinking of GOTUS. Is it the game possibly made by Eric Chahi?
The strategy thing should help us too. With
I legitimately think it might be this, although it's like a weird deep cut.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Yeah, but Damon's been doing
Is
that.
Is it rated mature?
I don't think so.
No, it's not.
I think it would be like an E10 or a
know
teen.
What you're talking about. I can't even think of the
this
game.
Was this game came out in like probably like 2010 or 2011. It came out around the same time Ubisoft did Outcast, which was that side-scrolling game where you swapped between two colors. You
had
the two
powers.
No, because it's you could see your character.
This is crazy, guys.
Yeah,
I think we spent, I can't think of that what the name of that game is, and it's probably not even that game.
Mitchell, are you gonna help us with this?
No,
you're supposed to tell us.
Wait, do you have like? Is it a dancing game?
You're asking me if it's a dancing game?
I don't think it's going to be a dancing game because it's part of a series.
Yeah.
What other dancing games are there?
There's several Just Dance games. They dance every year.
All right.
What about the Rabbids angle?
I don't know.
It's part of a series. This was a one.
I don't know. I don't. I think it's the Eric Chahi game that may or may not exist.
This is so embarrassing.
I'm done. I don't have anything. I don't have anything.
We've been on a losing streak.
I don't have anything. It's a multiplayer.
Nope.
All right. It's the Eric Chahi game that I don't know about. That's my guess. What's your guys' guess?
End War.
What's my guess? You want to go with Endwar?
No, for us being dumb, we all get one guess. He gets Endwar, I get Eric Cha. He's a game that
that's
may
a
not
license,
exist.
Though, Justin, so it can't
I
be
know.
That. He's giving up.
This is it? We're throwing in the towel?
I still think it's Eric Chahi's game that may or may not exist. Also, might not even be Eric Chahi. Also, that might not even be a real name.
Is it Beyond Good and Evil?
I don't know.
Oh, Marty, if only you could have remembered the name. From Dust.
From Dust! It was the Eric Chahi game where you were up down to two things with the world.
I think Ubisoft. We got that one.
Wait, that game came out?
2011 God game.
That's exactly what
where you
Marty.
Manipulate the ground to shepherd your flock to safety.
You did a good job with this, Marty.
I'm going to count it as a win.
It's not a win. We need a name. You can't just say, it's that game made by Nintendo starring the plumber.
I get From
Dust. You nailed
Dust.
That, Marty. I think you
can
really
play From Dust with Wild in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Wild is not out.
Wild is not out.
Who made From Games Dust?
Week. It's
Eric
Chahi. Ubisoft. And
yeah.
And
if that's how you pronounce it.
Eric Chahi was the guy who...
Stop saying that name.
He was
the
developer.
I just said Ubisoft.
I know, but they have like a million studios.
No, the thing was it was associated with Eric Chahi who did... Was I right? When he was the guy who did Another World and...
That sounds right.
I think so. I think that's why I know his name.
Yeah, Another World guy was French. So.
From Dust, I remember that game now.
It was like a man out of mask.
It was a really cool game. IGN gave it an 8.5.
Anthony
Keza McDonald.
Reviewed it.
Yeah.
And Keza McDonald.
Keza reviewed it.
Yeah, Pip. That one. It was a really cool game. It came out on, I think, Xbox, PS3, and PC.
Might have been like a Summer of Arcade game, like around the same time as like Bastion.
That would have been like right at the end of Summer of Arcade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were close. You almost got there this week.
Give myself a quarter of a point.
Yeah. That works.
Wow. Michael Jackson, the Experience. I forgot that existed.
Yeah, I did too.
That was the one with the vuvuzelas.
I don't even know that joke.
If you so that was right around the time of the South African World Cup, where if you remember, there was the controversy over the vuvuzelas that made that terrible.
Everyone would just bring that horn, and it would just
that game's anti-piracy measure was. I don't know how, but if it detected that you were playing a pirated copy, not a legitimate copy, it just had that droning vuvuzela noise in the background of all the songs.
Well, it's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's a pretty good anti-piracy measure. Thanks for the suggestion, Jack Martin in Charlton, Massachusetts. If you have your own suggestions, email them to me at gamescoop@ign.com. None of these guys have access to that email account, so it'll be safe.
I would have got this one right if I did.
Yes.
Well, if you'd remembered the name in the time that you read between then and now.
From Dust, a very cool game that's kind of, I think it might have been resurfaced in like a PlayStation Plus one of those months.
Yeah, I could see that.
One of those times. Everybody have a fun weekend playing games. If you manage to get an SNES Classic, get your hands on one. If it'll fit in your pocket.
Totally fits in your pocket.
And when next we meet, it will be October, which means we'll get to revisit the retro gaming magazine rack and see what was going on in the past of some October. But that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Damon.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.